In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
We live in an amazing age of information. Now, information is not the same as wisdom. Information is not the same as discernment. Information is not the same as understanding. You can be very intelligent, very intellectual, and very informed, and yet be a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So there's a world of people who, though they may be very bright and maybe very academic even, are very foolish because they either say there's no God or they live like there is no God. This is why we desperately need divine wisdom, what James calls the wisdom that is from above. But we have to acknowledge that for all the things we can know, there are some things we just don't know. We don't know all the future. You can't predict what world governments are going to do or world economies are going to do. You can't predict how you're going to feel tomorrow. There are just some things that are only in the purview of the Almighty God. There are some things only the Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, truly knows. And today we come to one of those things. I don't care how good you are with Google. I don't care how quick you are with your mobile device. I don't care what access you have to databases and how much of the 24/7 news cycle you consume and process. There is something in Mark chapter 13 you cannot know. Let's read the text. Jesus said, verse 32, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Did you hear it? Here's what we don't know. We do not know the timing of our Lord's return. Now, we know he's coming. In fact, it's very interesting that he would reference the day and the hour. Do you know what that means? It means on God's calendar, there's a day set. And on that calendar, if you could look at a divine clock, there's an hour set. So God's timetable is totally different than ours. Remember, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's not a revelation of heaven's math. That's a revelation of the fact that God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. God is never early. God is never late. God is always right on time. So we know there's a day. We know there's an hour. As surely as Christ came the first time, he's coming again. Do you remember Galatians 4, verse 4? "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." There's a key phrase there, the fullness of time. I have before me on my desk a glass, and the glass could be empty, it could be half full, it could be full, it could be overflowing. The Lord said, it's filling up, it's filling up, it's filling up, it's filling up, and there'll come a moment when the cup is full. At that moment, that exact second, in the twinkling of an eye, our Lord came. And the same thing is true in his second coming, in the fullness of time, when the last soul is saved, when the bride, the church, is complete. At the moment of our Father's choosing, Christ will come again. But here's what we don't know. What we don't know is the timing of his return. In fact, three times he says it in Mark chapter 13. You should mark it. Verse 32, "Knoweth no man, no, not the angels." So no man, no angel knows it. Then verse 33, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Well, who was the ye? The ye was the original disciples. So not only do we not know, not only do the angels not know, if you could ask Peter, James, and John, they don't know. I'm talking about the disciples who became the apostles, who were closest to our risen Christ. They didn't know the exact hour of our Lord's return. And then he repeats it in verse 35, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." That's a fascinating verse. Look at all those times. You've got even for the Jewish people, that started about 6 o'clock in the evening. And then you had midnight, the darkest point, the cock crowing, that's very, very early in the morning, or in the morning, that's later in the morning. So you've got two evening options and two morning options. He's simply saying, at all times, at any time, Christ could come, and we do not know when that is. Now, what do we draw from this passage? Well, one thing we draw from it is that the Father knows. Only the Father truly knows. Remember in our last study, I talked to you about the Jewish custom, and Jesus was drawing from that, and the people would have understood it, that a young man getting ready to be married would go away for a season and would return for his bride only at the time appointed of the Father. Well, who is Jesus? He's our bridegroom. John the Baptist testified that. He's the lover and the bridegroom, the lover of our souls. Jesus has gone away for a period of time. John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Yes, the bridegroom is coming, but he will only come at the time appointed to the Father, and only the Father knows. Our Heavenly Father's timing is always perfect. So if you're anxious today, if you're nervous today, if you're worried today, know this, God is always right on time. The other thing that I think is significant from this passage is not only that the Father knows, but that the Son will be told. Now, some people have wondered about this. Well, if the Father and Son are one, if the Father doesn't keep anything from the Son, why does it say that even the Son does not know? This is not a statement of the Son's ignorance. This is a statement of his submission to the Father in his coming to earth. He submitted to the Father's perfect timing in the first coming. He submitted to the Father's perfect timing in his life and in his death. Remember, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. And then there came the day, the hour has come. What was that? The Father's perfect timing. He's simply stating that in the return, in the second coming, the Father's timing will be just as perfect, and the Son will be just as submissive and just as obedient. There will come a moment when the Heavenly Father will look to his Son seated there at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, seated on the throne, making intercession for us, and he will say, "Son, it is time." And at that moment, the Son will get up and come for his bride. Friends, the master of the house is coming. We get to be a part of the house, but the master is coming. And when he's coming, we are going. And so here's what else we take away from this passage, the practical application. There's a word here about the Father, there's a word here about the Son, but there's a word here about us. We must be ready. The word of our Lord is this, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. That doesn't mean you do nothing. In fact, Christ and his disciples had a very similar conversation to this in Acts chapter number 1. Do you remember? Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What did he say to them? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Only the Father knows that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, look, there's some things you don't know, but there are some things that you do know. You know he's coming back. You know he's your Savior, and you know the world needs to hear. When the Bible says watch and pray, it doesn't mean hide like a hermit in your house somewhere. It means that we must be in tune with God, in tune with the heart of God, watching for souls, seeking to do what Jesus did when he was here, going after the lost. It's not just that we don't want to be surprised when he comes. We don't want others to be surprised and left behind when he comes. I challenge you today, be right with God and seek to lead others to him. Watch and pray, because we don't know when, but we know that Christ is coming again.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening. and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. And may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.